This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering CDs, cassette tapes, or printed copies of today's sermon will follow the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Is it possible for us to be neutral in our relationship with God? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you have made it very clear in your word that a commitment to you means that we give you our all. We realize that you are a God who has loved us to the extent that you have given your Son. And so you expect that all-out love from us. Empower us then with thy Holy Spirit to love in that way, and grant that we may sense, O God, that you are the one who is always with us. Amen. Friends in Christ, it has often been said that the message of the Bible is so simple that a child can understand it, but so deep in thought that the most learned scholars cannot exhaust its meaning. I believe that that statement is really true. So simple, you and I have experienced that, and yet so profound that we have wondered often, what does it really mean? Remember when you were a little boy or girl in Sunday school? And you had Sunday school teachers who taught you these blessed stories of both the Old and the New Testament. I remember them well, especially one grade where we had a master storyteller. I don't particularly remember the story that is our text today, but it is that Bible story of Jairus, who had a daughter and she died. He fell on his face and asked Jesus, "Will you please come and heal her?" And Jesus accommodated and went and raised her from the dead, and she rejoiced, as did all of her family. Now, I recall that when those stories like that were told, we as a class thought they were delightful. Just see what Jesus can do. We got a message from it, and it's that message that lingers in our hearts yet today. As long as I read the story of Jairus and his daughter, I will think of the healing. But sometimes I would have to ask myself, is there not more to this story than just the healing, the raising of the dead? Not as if that is not very, very important. It is, and we'll talk about that more next week. But is there something else that God says to us in this word? And I think here we have two basic lessons, and that's why I want to preach on one today and another one a week from today. God has given to his church people who had brilliant minds and hearts that were captured with the gospel of Jesus Christ. With these minds and their discipline, they have penetrated the Bible's depth and given to us who are teachers on a more practical level insights into the Word of God that have enriched our lives and are to pass on to others that their faith might be strengthened. One of these brilliant biblical scholars today is a man by the name of Tom Wright, who is a bishop of Dunham, England, and one of the world's leading scholars in the New Testament. I read his commentaries on the Scriptures weekly, and today I'd like to share with you the blessings that Bishop Wright has brought to me on his expounding the fifth chapter of the Gospel of St. Mark. Again, it's back to that story of Jesus healing or raising from the dead Jairus's daughter. This man Jairus is a rather interesting person. Now it says that he was a leader in the synagogue in Capernaum. As best we know, there were probably 3,000 or 4,000 people who lived in Capernaum. And they had their rabbis there and other leaders. But the man who led the synagogue or ruled over the synagogue was Jairus. Now, you might think that was a very prestigious position, but it really wasn't. He did not have to belong to the synagogue. He certainly did not have to attend its worship services. But this he had to do. He had to keep order. He had to see that people's behavior was satisfactory. He had to see that fights did not happen over some religious matter. And you know, they say if you really want to have a fight, get into politics or religion. Religion, yes. Christ, no, huh? But anyway, this was his job, to keep order. Now, he realized that if order should break down, the leaders of the Roman Empire could come by and wonder if a new Roman Empire was starting within the Roman Empire. And so they saw to it that the rulers of the synagogue were transferred or simply fired. So Jairus was very anxious to keep that order. But he was intrigued with this person, Jesus, though he realized when Jesus was in town, there was a chance of more trouble between those who were wondering if he might not be the Son of God and those who did not believe it. Jairus had heard him teach in the synagogue. And when Jesus was the teacher there, you can be jolly well sure that Jairus was in the front seat. For it says that he taught as no other rabbi. In other words, he was a great preacher. He grabbed Jairus' heart. But when the service was over, he could shake his head and say, "Why, my, what a wonderful, wonderful teacher he is." But he never committed his life to Christ. He never wanted to be one of his followers. He wanted to play it rather cool, to keep a safe distance between him and Jesus. And there is room, he thought, for more than one opinion of Jesus, and so those who were opposed to Jesus in Capernaum, they could go their way, but secretly, he could just believe there's more to this man than these people understand, and I am going to keep in the good graces of that man. It's sort of like a person who says, "I want to belong to the church. There are so many good things there, and I can use it for various reasons. But I don't want the message of the church, the message of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world, to capture my soul too much. Because when I do that, then I am no longer neutral, and difficulty can come my way. For there will be those who will not like me if I am neutral to Jesus Christ. But there are also those who will not like me if I stand for Jesus Christ. So consequently, I think I'll stay in the middle of the whole thing." Very common today, it's called a lukewarm Christianity. Millions of people in the church who are lukewarm. There was a church in Jesus' day at Laodicea, evidently a church that had quite a few people, but they remained neutral. And the Bible said to them that they were lukewarm, and because they were lukewarm, Jesus would spit them out of his mouth. In other words, there is no place for neutrality in the presence of Jesus Christ. We are either for him or we are against him. There was no place for that which Jairus had accepted, just to be neutral. Until one day, Jairus discovered that to be true. What did it take to bring this leader in the synagogue to a common faith in Jesus Christ? It pays to be broad-minded, some will say. If you're running for political office, you have to be somewhat popular. And to be popular, you have to be neutral on some of the issues. And so we can talk about some of the issues that face us today. And we say, where do you stand on same-sex marriage? Where do you stand on Iraq? Where do you stand on Afghanistan? Where do you stand on the bailout? Now, if it's possible, a neutral position seems to be the one that you want to get. Because if you go one way, you hurt certain people. If you go the other way, you hurt certain people. And that's why, even in the church often, we think that we can be neutral to the teachings of God's holy word. Broad-minded. A neutral lifestyle. That's it. Well, back to Jairus and his neutral position, which finally he had to give up. It was one day that as he was working in the synagogue, according to Wright, there came news to him. Your 12-year-old daughter is sick unto death. He began to think, what would it be if I lost my daughter? Is there anything in life that I should spare if it could save her? And so the Bible gives us very, very clear teachings of what happened. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. And then Wright paints that picture so beautifully. Can't you see this leader who now had decided he didn't care what the people thought of him? He didn't care how they would talk about him in the synagogue the next Sabbath day. If Jesus would only come and heal his daughter, what was it that brought this man to his knees? Jairus was brought to his knees flat on his face because his little girl was dying and only Jesus could help her. What do you think Jesus did? Of course he knew that Jairus had been neutral. But now here was a man who had changed completely. There was no neutrality anymore. And he turned to Jairus and said, "Come, and we'll be on our way." So they started for Jairus' house, and a whole mob of people went along to see what he was going to do with this one. In that crowd, there was a woman who the Bible says had a problem with hemorrhaging. She had tried everything under the sun to have her bleeding stopped, but it wouldn't stop. And then she thought, "If I but touch his clothes, I would be healed." So they're walking along the way, and finally she gets close enough that she could touch his robe. And the Bible says that Jesus could sense that some power had come out of him, and he turned and said, "Who touched me?" Some of the disciples who were walking with him said, "Lord, what a crazy question. There are all kinds of people. They're flocking in on you, and you ask, 'Who touched you?'" But Jesus looked down, and here was a woman who had touched him. And she looked into his face, and her eyes met his eyes. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." And then they were on their way to Jairus' house. As they got close to the house, the crowds came out and began to talk to Jairus. Finally, they broke the news. And they said to him, "Your daughter is dead." And Jesus said, "Come on. We're going to continue on to your daughter's bedside." And so they went on their way, and ignoring what the crowd said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Then they got to the house, and Jesus did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a great commotion, and he went in and said to the little girl, "Talitha cum." And you know what happened? That was a part of the simple story that we heard as kids. The little girl stood up, and she walked. It was God's miraculous way of showing his power over death. But not right now do we want that particular emphasis. We'll use that next week. He tries to show them how badly we need a Savior. There was no one else who could save her except Jesus. Jairus probably knew this, but he would rather walk the neutral way, for then everything would be all right as far as he and his fellow men were concerned. But it wasn't until he was broken, until he was really ready to give his allegiance to Jesus, that Jesus could help him. Isn't that a picture, friend? Isn't that something that we can apply to our own life? We know the power of Christ as far as learning is concerned, but we don't want to get too close to him, for to identify ourselves with Jesus in this day can cause us a lot of unpopularity. That is true in society, that is sometimes true in a church. Don't be too close. Play it cool. Live on the periphery. And Jesus says, that I cannot take. Until finally it comes that day, I've got to have a Savior. What will it take to convince us that we need a Savior? What will it take us? I don't know. But I know that in my own life, I can go along pretty well, seeming like I almost can get along without Jesus until some tragedy comes. And if tragedy has come to your house today, friend, and you know not which way to turn, then don't forget Jairus. Don't hesitate any longer. Don't try to take a neutral position with Jesus. Don't just be satisfied in belonging to a church and going occasionally or even regularly. Commit your life to him. Let him in. Kneel at his feet. And there you will find a Savior who will take you by the hand and lift you up and grant you your request, and will grant you a peace which passes all understanding. That's Jesus. Don't remain lukewarm. The closing words of our text are extremely interesting. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this. And so next week, we're going to take a look at that text under the guiding leadership of Bishop Wright. And he will tell us why Jesus said that. Don't tell anybody, when later on he told the masses to go out and tell the story of Jesus to the world. It's a great chapter. Thank God that there is more to it than that little Bible lesson that we learned as kids. But thank God for that too. And pray that in our Sunday schools and vacation Bible schools these days, children will be learning that story. For it's that story that has behind it much greater truths. Amen.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul
Father, we pray that through the character Jairus, we have come to the place where we ask the question, what does it take to bring me to my knees? God, we know that many have been on their knees, and you have come to them. Not necessarily to heal the dead, not to take care of the sick, nor all of the requests that come our way. But you were there, and we know that you will be there if we will but bow at the feet of Jesus and let him speak to us. Thanks for this good word. The simplicity of that little story, the gospel that we learned as kids, but the great truths in depth that have been pointed out to us by such God-fearing men as Bishop Wright. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's gospel message has filled you with the light of the Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the generosity of our listeners in order to continue broadcasting. We encourage you to support this ministry with a financial gift if you are able. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Or call us to learn more about the many ways you can help through estate giving and memorial gifts by joining our Gift Every Month Club or as a broadcast sponsor. Our number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Thank you to all of you who support our ministry with your prayers and gifts. We encourage you to visit our website and view a new slideshow about the ministry. Christian Crusaders Behind the Scenes will tell you about the current ministry and our efforts to spread the gospel through a variety of media. Log on to christiancrusaders.org to view the show. To request a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon, please call us toll-free at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth continuously since 1936.